Your Bible, the words will be on the screen as well if you don't, but if you've got your Bible, I'm going to encourage you to open them to John chapter 20. I'm going to read a few verses from verse 19. John chapter 20 at verse 19, I'm just going to read down to verse 23. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Amen. Do you know, we have been over these past few months, really, since January, we've been studying Jesus with his disciples. If you've been here at any point over then, you've probably been with us when we've been with Jesus in the upper room with his disciples before Jesus was going to go to the cross. And this Easter Sunday morning, I wanted us to be back with Jesus and his disciples, because you see, Jesus, after he rose from the grave, he then comes to be with his disciples. It tells us that it's the evening of that day. It's the evening of the first Easter Sunday. It is the evening, the first day of the week, John tells us, and the doors are locked, and the disciples are inside because they are in fear. And Jesus comes. Jesus comes and he speaks to them. And really this morning, it is what Jesus says to them that I want to focus on for a little while this morning. And he says to them, "Peace be with you." He says it twice in this short section. "Peace be with you," he says. Now this is more than a greeting. This is more than, you know, Jesus kind of walking into the room and going, "How you doing, guys? You know, what's up?" This is much, much more than that. This is a declaration that Jesus is making of peace be with you. He's not simply saying, you know, "How you doing? How's your day going?" He's speaking words of great power and of great meaning to them on this first day. Because you see, when he says, "Peace be with you," what he's saying is that Friday and Sunday have achieved this peace. This is what Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection on the Sunday have accomplished. Peace with God. It isn't a nice little phrase to make them feel better. It's not a comforting word or, you know, a kind of meme you would stick on social media that's just a wee bit of kind of, you know, pithy phrase that doesn't really mean anything, but it kind of, you know, echoes some kind of kind sentiment. That's not what Jesus is doing here. Jesus is saying something that is absolutely solid, that is concrete, that has got substance to it. He's saying, "Peace be with you," because look at exactly what he does when he says it. He says, "Peace be with you." And then when he says it, he shows them his hands and his side. He says, "Peace be with you." And as he says it, he shows them his hands that are pierced, and it shows them his side. He's saying, "This is why I have these marks. This is why my hands are pierced. This is why my side is pierced, in order that you might have peace." He's saying that this is why I'm pierced. This is why my hands bear these marks. My hands bear these marks because this is what has accomplished peace for you. And what we see as we look at Jesus is that it is clear that he has got a real resurrection body. This is not the spirit of Jesus appearing in the room. This is not, you know, this is Jesus in a real resurrection body. How he enters the room is fascinating. The doors are locked, but yet he enters the room. I don't think we should think too much about what that might impact our own resurrection bodies, but that's not what John focuses on. It might be fascinating, but the thing that John focuses on about his body is the scars. It's his pierced hands and his side. His scars are the cost of our peace. And even though he has risen from the dead, and even though they could not recognize the Lord Jesus at first, they knew him because he still bore the scars. Amazing, isn't it, that Jesus, the one who is the first one to bear a resurrection body, the first one to rise from the dead, the one that we look to in confidence that we also will rise from the dead. And he's got this new body that we know from Scripture and will not face the kind of ailments and challenges that this body faces. But Jesus' perfect body still displays the scars in his hands and the marks in his side where he was pierced. Why? In order that every time we gaze upon his resurrection body, we might be reminded of the cost. The cost to him to achieve it for us. Jesus said, and you'll maybe remember this from a few weeks ago when we were in John 14, but Jesus has said already that peace is something that he is going to be giving. He was speaking the night before he would be killed on the Thursday evening with his disciples. And he said to them, he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you." So this peace that Jesus gives is not a peace that the world can offer, but it's a peace that only he can give. It's not a peace that we will find by searching anywhere else in the world, but it's a peace that only comes through Jesus. It only comes through the sacrifice of God's eternal Son for us on Calvary's cross. Hear this. Hear this, the world cannot give you this peace. It can't. It simply cannot offer you peace with God. The world cannot give it to you. Jesus is the only one who can give you peace, because he is the only one who has died and who has risen again. Only he can give it to us. When Paul talks about this peace in his letter to the Ephesians, he makes it really clear that it is God that initiates this peace. It says that for he himself, that is Jesus himself is our peace. He is our peace. How is he our peace? Well, because he has brought near those who were once far off. It says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility." Because you see, Jesus isn't offering a peace, a horizontal peace between people. It's not what he's offering at this point. What Jesus is offering is something far, far greater and far, far more needed for every single one of us. And that is a vertical peace. A peace between us and God. a peace that is not simply about this world, but a peace with the one who made us, a peace with the one who loves us, a peace that this world simply cannot offer. This world cannot offer us peace with God. We might go searching in so many places. We might go looking in so many different ways. But peace with God is only given through Jesus. And he initiates it. We don't need to go on a grand search for him. He has already gone in the grand search for us. And for some of you today, he might be searching you out today. He might be searching you out and you just sense him calling to you, offering you peace. You might just sense that this peace that Jesus speaks of is a peace that you need and a peace that you want. And you might be at the place where you're ready to accept that gift from Christ. Because the question of are you at peace with God is probably the most important question. Probably the most important question that you can ask yourself at any stage in your life. Perhaps sometimes we think of peace with God as something that we think about in our final moments. Very often it is. But it is not something that simply has to wait till then. It is something that God offers to us at any stage in our lives. And if you are a born-again Christian, the answer is yes, you do have peace. But you know what? There aren't degrees of peace when it comes to our relationship with God. Our relationship with God doesn't work like a kind of Facebook relationship status where, you know, you've got a it's complicated option. It doesn't. You either have a relationship with him and you're his child and you have peace, or you don't. And if you don't, it's because you're his enemy. And that might sound really stark for some people to hear that. You might even feel as if, you know, if you're not a follower of Jesus, you might even feel as if that doesn't describe you. But you see, with God, there isn't a halfway house. There isn't a fence to sit on. You are his child, or you're not. And sometimes that can seem hard to hear, but I think it's honest to hear. And I would much rather you hear it now, much rather you hear it now, than someone tell you that, oh yeah, it'll be fine and you'll have peace when you might not. Paul, when he's writing about this peace, tells us exactly why we need it. Because you see, every single one of us, myself as well, every one of us has been disobedient to God. There's been loads of times in my life when I've disregarded him, disrespected him, wanted nothing to do with him. Live life quite happily for myself. about any need in my mind to even think about God. That disregarding, that disrespecting is sin. And as long as there is sin, there is no peace with God. But here's what Paul says. He says at the end of Romans 4, he says that Jesus Christ was delivered up, that is, he was put up onto the cross for our trespasses and our sins. So all of your sin, all of the things that prevent peace with God, all of that has been put onto Christ when he was delivered up for our trespasses and sins, and he was raised from the grave on Easter Sunday morning for our justification. And immediately Paul goes on to say, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus. You see, what he's saying is that Jesus died to take your sin. He rose to justify you. And because you are justified, you can have peace with God. A peace that only comes through Jesus. This is what Christ achieved for the disciples on that Easter day. It's what he achieves for every disciple of Jesus. And these were fearful people. But notice, when they see his hands and his side, when they hear those words of peace from Jesus, it tells us the disciples were glad. They were glad. They had joy in their hearts, because the one thing that peace with God does is it gives you a joy that you have never experienced any other time. A joy that this world simply cannot offer. A joy that is just not there anywhere else. But with peace with God, there is a joy that comes. And you know, this peace utterly changes the lives of the disciples. It utterly changes the life of Jesus' followers today. Jesus goes on and says to them again, peace be with you. And then he tells them that as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. You see, these people who now have peace, they're being sent out by Jesus. They're being sent out to go and be peacemakers, to go and share that peace with others, to the peace with God that they now have. They're sent out to go and share that peace with others. And John records here that Jesus breathes on them and says to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, those of you who know your Bibles and know the beginning of Acts are probably thinking, hold on a minute, I didn't think that happened here. And it doesn't happen here. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. But very often, Jesus speaks about things in the present tense that are still to come. And he does it that way because what he's saying is, this is guaranteed, this is going to happen. It's what he was doing when I read those verses a few minutes ago about the peace that Jesus will leave. It was the night before he died, but he said, I'm going to leave my peace with you. You're going to have my peace. He says, my peace I leave with you. He was saying it in the present tense, but it was still dependent on what was to happen. But Jesus was so confident that he would die and rise again that his peace was something that would be secure, so he can talk about it in the present tense as if it's already happened. And so he does that here. He says, receive the Holy Spirit, knowing that it's a guarantee, knowing that because he is raised from the grave, he is also going to ascend to the Father and send his Spirit on his people. And these disciples, well, these disciples are going to go out. And they're going to go with this gospel message. This gospel message is going to go with these disciples. And it says here, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold the forgiveness from any, it is withheld. And Jesus isn't saying here that the disciples have got the power to grant forgiveness to people or not. He's not saying that they can walk around the towns and go, don't know. Like you, forgiven, don't like you, not forgive. That's not what he's saying.
What he's saying is that the gospel message that they have has the ability to forgive sins. The gospel message that they now have about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, that gospel message is what is to go out and give forgiveness to others. If they receive that gospel message, then their sins are forgiven and they will have peace with God. If that gospel message is not received, then they remain in their sin. And you know, their message continues today. This message of the Lord Jesus Christ that the apostles took out is the same message that we preach here. Almost 2,000 years later, we preach the same gospel message. Sunday after Sunday, we teach the same things. Why? Because this gospel message has life. It has forgiveness. It has a power. It has a power to waken us from our spiritual slumber. It has the ability to take us from being enemies of God and make us children of God. It has the ability to take us from being spiritually dead people and make us spiritually alive people. This gospel message has power. And for 2,000 years, it has been transforming this world. For 2,000 years, it has been changing lives. It has been giving people peace in the midst of all kinds of chaos. It has been giving people peace. No matter what sin they might have committed, no matter how far away they might have been from God, this gospel message has been a message that offers peace, and it's the same offer that I make today.
Remember what Paul said, Jesus is our peace. He is the King of Peace. I can't grant these things. I don't grant people peace with God. You can't come to me and pour out your heart and I'll tell you that you're okay. I don't have that power. I'm a human being just like you. Only God can forgive sin. But this message of the gospel, this message that Jesus Christ has died for your sins and risen that you may be justified and have peace with him, that can save you. And that can give you life because Jesus is our peace. If you receive that message today, you can have peace with God because Jesus is our peace. And to receive Jesus is to receive his peace. It's to go through life with the assurance that you are God's child and not his enemy. It is to go through life knowing that God loves you and God cares for you and God is in a loving relationship with you. It is to go through life knowing that you're forgiven and nothing will ever be held against you. It is to go through life knowing that no matter what happens in life, whether good or whether bad, you have a faithful God who will never leave you. It is to come to the end of your life, knowing that when you close your eyes for the last time, you face no hostility and no fear, but you have peace. Peace with your Lord, peace with the God of the universe. Peace with the one who made you, and peace with the one who is ready to receive you into an eternity of life. Peace.
peace be with you, Jesus said. Peace be with you. His peace bought with his scarred hands. Your peace secured on Calvary's cross and guaranteed by Christ's resurrection. Let me pray for us.
Father in heaven, what peace you grant to those who believe in you, to those who follow you. What peace you give that all of our sins and all of our transgressions and all of our mistakes and folly and all the times when we have just utterly disregarded you, what peace to know that those things are all wiped away. What peace to know that Christ has risen from the grave, and because he lives, I too will live. What peace to know that I don't fear anything, but instead have joy that comes from you because I'm restored to you. Restored, forgiven, set free, alive. Father, might you take these truths this morning. Might you speak them into our minds and our hearts. Father, would you help us believe them? Would you help us to believe that Jesus is your Son, that he died and he rose again for us, and that we would find life and peace in him? Help us, Lord. Help us to believe. And Father, for all of us who do believe, give us great confidence and great assurance, and help us to grasp the depth and the weight and the joy and the wonder of the peace that we have with you. Amen.